You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
OneOfUs.net has been your one-stop shop for all things geek for years. But there's a side to them many of you have never heard. The subscription side. Subscribe and listen to great podcasts like The Breakfast Pub, The Original Gentleman, and the Watch a Movie With Us series. Head on over to OneOfUs.net and don't forget your towel.
So we couldn't not come on and do yet another review of a Marvel show on Netflix, right?
I mean, we absolutely had to because, I mean, I think our reviews for like Jessica Jones and Daredevil Season 1 and Season 2 is like the most popular of our reviews.
They were pretty popular. Net. People wanted to hear what we had to say about it for some reason.
Yeah. All those geeky people that like to listen to our shit.
I'm a little weirded out that there is no black guy in the room right now. I feel weird about even doing this because I'm like, there's no black commentator on this. No Elliot, who has not watched it all the way through yet. There's no Martin, who admittedly was out of town all last weekend, so he's not got a chance to watch it yet. Mm-hmm. Even though he was on the fucking TV dudes talking about the first episode. We're like, wait, you guys are going to do an episode-by-episode review for a show that is all bingeable like, at once? I don't get that.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can talk about hip-hop and that rap music. We know the streets.
I don't.
Mr.
Cox. I don't
know
the streets.
I'm a native of Buffalo, New York. I know the streets.
Oh, good Lord.
I mean, there's no black people on my Empire podcast.
You have an Empire podcast?
Heck yeah, it's just one of my side projects.
So you do it. No one can listen to it, but it's there.
But yeah, it's on my hard drive.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Can't wait to listen to it, Kyle.
Subscribe to my hard drive.
So it's Kyle, Chris, and Chris here talking about Marvel's latest show, Luke Cage. And I'm just going to get this out of the way right off the bat. This show is so racist against white people. No, I'm totally kidding.
Yeah.
Totally kidding.
Are there any white characters in the show?
Shades.
They're all evil and corrupt.
Shades is not white. He's Latino.
He's Hispanic. Yeah. He's Hispanic, Mr. What? Racist Kyle person.
What?
Yeah.
I couldn't see his eyes.
Yeah.
He had those shades on.
Yeah, that's what makes the difference. Like, you can't tell he's Latino if you can't see his eyes.
Yeah, you put a hood over your head, you put the glasses on, who knows what you are under there.
Yeah. He didn't really have a hood, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know he didn't have a...
From the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was...
Harlem's not the hood. You know, it's more, you know, it's a center of great culture and things like that, as the show repeats over and over and over
again. I will say, we've seen 8 billion... like posts this past couple days of websites doing like there's a bunch of white people who think Luke Cage is racist. I guarantee you this is like a bunch of guys like we got to create this story because there's a few people who use Confederate flags as their icons who are like there's not enough white people on the show who are morons, but this is not a huge fucking thing going on. There's not like this movement of like Luke Cage is a racist show because it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. I mean, the thing is, it focuses on for the first time, really, like in a Marvel property, an African American character, and that in itself is unique and kind of special.
Well, African American main character,
exactly, main character. Yeah,
yeah, and well cast with Mike Coulter, who we really liked in Jessica Jones playing this character here.
Agreed.
Biggest issue with the series starting off was just like, when is this happening? Because after Jessica Jones, I was kind of like, I'm a little confused. Was he on the run in Jessica Jones? Did they establish he was on the run?
Well, they established the fact that he doesn't want anyone to know where he is or who he is, really. Like, he's trying to make a low profile, which I think is difficult in itself because, first of all, you're running a bar, so you gotta like get a liquor license, and if you don't want to know who you really are, I think that's an arduous process to get a liquor license
but
for a bar.
But he's in a different part of town, you know.
He's in Hell's Kitchen, which I don't give a shit back then.
That's true.
Aliens attack. No one gives a shit. Like, everyone needs to get a drink. But, I mean... the thing with like initial episodes when they first established, it clearly takes place after Jessica Jones, and it takes place after Daredevil season 2 because they make tons of references like, yeah, ninjas attacked the hospital for some reason. We have no idea why.
maybe too many references, I will say.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time in one of the shows that I started to get annoyed with the placement of the references. A lot of it had to do with a Turk who is a running character, of course, on the street level.
I'm like, Turk Barrett, baby.
Yeah. He's like all the
I'm on every show.
Is like, by the way, I'm from Hell's Kitchen, and some shit went down there. With
there's a devil guy there.
Yeah.
The Agent Coulson of the streets.
No, we will not speak of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. here.
I mean, they kept, like, Rosario Dawson, who actually is very welcome when she shows up in the show.
Oh, yeah, I really liked that.
One of the best things of the otherwise, I thought, weak second half. Like, she keeps doing the whole, like, I know a lawyer. And it's like, so why isn't he in the show? Why isn't he here? I don't understand why there wasn't an episode with him. It was so perfectly set up to have an episode with him.
Listen, man, Ike Perlmutter, he doesn't want it.
Frustrating.
Ike Perlmutter, he's keeping that budget nice and tight. He's like, you can't have Charlie Cox on here for even a second.
Well, this is of all the shows, feels like it has the most tight budget.
Yes, it does.
There's, or alternately, all of it went to paying bands, which, to be fair, they got some seriously great bands.
Oh, I've been listening to that shit all day today, no lie, just on repeat. The playlist that they have on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's like all the music from the show and then like the different stuff that the Wu-Tang Clan did.
Yeah.
To like track the show.
It's a wonderful little like wink, wink, nod, nod, Method Man cameo in here. Which actually feels
man,
great.
It's you.
No, I love that moment.
It is. It's
like
fun.
Where it really brings it back to like this whole street level thing. And he has his own little, he does a rap about like, about Luke Cage. I'm like, that's fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I appreciate most about the soundtrack was that they didn't feel like it had to be all hip hop, which was really smart because, to be fair, there's so much more going on in black culture and black music than hip hop. And this expanded well into all of that, where you've got Rafael Sadiq, who's incredibly talented. It's like the first big act they show in the show in the first episode. You got Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. You've got all these really talented musicians coming in that are representing a wealth of different styles of African American music. Really appreciated that level of it. Really appreciated the way that it wanted to keep name-checking stuff about important writers in black culture as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a... I'm forgetting the name of the Twitter feed, but there was a... It's been all over the internet with a guy who, like, posted a whole list of all the books that are name-checked on the show.
Little Green's one of the books, I think.
All the important black literature that's name-checked on the show. And Luke Cage goes out of its way to try and do exactly what Jessica Jones was trying to do for...
Women.
For women in feminist culture.
Yeah.
Trying to do that for black culture. And most of that works pretty well.
In the first several episodes, I would say, it works well. In the first several episodes, it works well. But then at that point... Agreed. I mean, we're going to get into... We're going to talk about the villains and the characters especially. But for me, as Chris said, the first half of the season, I think, works for the most part. But after episode 7, what happens to some of the... That's when, the show gets off the fucking rails.
Whoa. Can I pause you for a second?
Keep going.
What were you saying about episodes 1 through 6 again?
I thought they were pretty solid episodes, and they established...
Pretty solid? Come on. Mm-hmm. Give me 1 through 6 for a second. Before we talk about the end of it.
Yeah.
The guy who's listening to this review, who's only on episode 6, come on, those are pretty badass first 6 episodes.
You shouldn't be listening to this review if you have not watched all of them. Because this is a spoiler cast.
I don't know. Some people like getting stuff spoiled. I kind of like spoilers.
I will say that like I really, really like Cottonmouth as a villain here. I think he's interesting. I think he's well tied into... the whole history of the streets thing.
He's
like
flawed
that.
As
his
hell.
Relationship is very flawed. He's an interesting character. Mm-hmm. It's a solid performance as well that is has layers to it, you know?
The laugh works really well, too.
Love that laugh.
That can go two ways, and his, like, it's very natural, but then it works, like, for the theme of the show.
He does it when he feels both confident and uncomfortable. And he is such a, like, a really cool, unique villain where, looking back at the previous Netflix show, like, look at Kingpin. Like, throughout the entire series, even though when he starts to fail towards the end, like, starts to come to unravel, he still remains intimidating. Kilgrave, he's fucking terrifying, even up until the end when he dies, Jessica Jones. With Cottonmouth, like, episode 2, you start to see that he's not, it's like, is he incompetent? Maybe, but he's just... He seems to struggle with himself and, like, what his position is. And we get to know him more and more, like, especially during the flashback sequences, which are some of my favorite moments of the show when we get to introduce some of the other characters. Like, I forget the actress's name who plays Mama Mabel, but
Real villain of the show.
The real villain of the show.
Oh, yeah.
But she's fantastic. But with Cottonmouth and learning his origin, it's like, wow, what a unique character. And what interesting. You know, as I got to learn more about him, I started to care more about him. And then they fucking kill him halfway through the season.
By the way, it's LaTanya Richardson Jackson as Mama Mabel.
She is fantastic. She is scary as hell.
Yeah, I kind of want to see a whole, like, flashback to that period of time with, like, maybe a whole nother set of people that were dealing with her.
Yeah.
Did they ever even say what happened to her?
They just say she's dead.
Yeah, they never say how she died.
And she has, like, 5 to 7 minutes of screen time in the entire thing. Yeah, but they're effective.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Cottonmouth is, like, this well-explored villain where you're like, oh, he's got all these layers to him. He's, like, kind of just a little kid at heart in some ways who's still insecure and still broken. And, like, his relationship with his cousin, played by Alfred Woodward, who plays Mariah Dillard. Black Mariah in the comics, referenced officially all of once in the show. Is complex, and she clearly is wearing the pants in this relationship, despite how much she tries to bluster. She's like, as we see through the flashbacks, along as it goes along, we're like, no, he's gonna end up doing anything she tells him to do. And I feel like the decision to have her kill him makes sense, but after that, she's so thoroughly uninteresting. Without him, she's not an interesting character anymore. She's just kind of a cliche.
She's reactionary, especially when we introduce, which I think is probably the weakest character in this series, which is Diamondback.
Oh, Diamondback
he
like,
fucking sucks. I'm sorry, he sucks.
He's a laughably unrealistic, ridiculous character that is then made that much more ridiculous when they give him a fucking super outfit, which is the single stupidest super outfit in the history of Marvel.
But Chris is accurate to the comic books.
Is it?
It is, actually, yeah. I've looked back, I'm like, where did they get this from? It's like, it looks exactly like the comics.
It's terrible.
It doesn't work. You don't have to adapt everything in the comics. Just take what works.
It's not a good call, and you're like, so how exactly is this thing giving him superpowers? And plus, when Luke Cage is fighting him, we know Luke Cage is no idiot, right? Why don't you just rip that power pack off his back? Like, clearly, it's super evident.
Chris.
Like, so many times in that fight where you're like, it's like, oh, he's, like, powering down. He's like, oh, you can beat him now. Oh, it's charging up. You're like, rip the fucking shit off his back. What is the issue here?
Chris, we need to see the poorly choreographed fight scene. That's what we need to do. That's the other thing about this show. I mean,
it was choreographed fight
scene. A lot of the fight scenes in this show aren't good at all.
No.
It's like, compared to Daredevil, even Jessica Jones, which I had problems with, I even said, like, some of this is sloppy. They're just kind of throwing people around. But this, it's bad.
Well, the thing is, Daredevil, they took such care with the fight scenes to make them all where we really felt like we were watching, like, martial arts
ninjas
film level like fight scenes, which didn't work perfectly all the time, but when it worked, I mean, you know, the hallway scene, obviously, in season one, which is so
stairwell
great,
scene.
Or the stairwell scene in season two, so well executed. Honestly, there's not a fight scene like that in Luke Cage. It's all just, and I get that he's more of a street brawler type of thing than a martial artist or something.
Yeah.
But they're just not well-filmed sequences.
The interesting thing about this character is there's not really anybody who can take him. I mean, given the exception of a weapon or technology, this or that.
The Judas weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's unmatched on the streets. So I feel like the challenge that the writers have and where they succeed sometimes and where they fail sometimes over the course of this first season is that they have to make it interesting when he's got these confrontations with people that he can't beat up. Those moments where it's like, oh no, if I do something, my friend's on the line. Or one of my favorite stories from the season is when they go around busting up everybody's shops and they're like, go find Luke Cage if you want your money. And now he's like, great, I got to solve this problem for all these people right here. Like, for a guy who you can't really have a good story about, you know, tit for tit, the other strong man is going to take him down.
Sure.
Really, you got to find those more interesting narratives out there.
But again, that takes place in the first half of this season, where it's still Cottonmouth, still a villain, where you're absolutely right, Kyle, where he's going around the neighborhood, he's blaming the Superman. It's like, can you get my cat out of the tree type scenarios? Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It makes it interesting. And that's what I will I really preach about the show is that they make Harlem itself a character, more so than even Hell's Kitchen, where they really get you to know the neighborhood. And yeah, some of the lines are kind of corny, and some of the characters, the characters don't always work. But for the most part, it you feel with the music they have and with some of the people that are just around, it feels like the environment has more of a personality, or like I can relate to it more than something like Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, and there's definitely more so than even in Hell's Kitchen, which they try to set to some extent, but doesn't work as well as it does here. The idea that, like, we want this community to work. There's a real community of people
proud of our culture,
care about this and its culture. It works almost too well, where you're like, why doesn't Luke Cage seem like he cares more about this stuff? You know, like a lot of the seasons, like, are you a hero or you're not? And I get so sick of him saying, I'm not a hero. It's like, oh, for fuck's sakes.
He's a hero for hire.
There's the moment where they're like, oh, you should charge for that.
That's so, what you got to play on. Yeah. And that's what I feel like the comics do a really good job of, is it's like, yeah, I'll be a hero, but not for free.
Yeah. He needs Danny Rand with him. He needs that billionaire playboy.
I don't know. I felt there's so many awkward things trying to get this where they want it to go eventually. Mm-hmm. Some of the most awkward moments are those things where, like, we're hinting towards this. I want to say right off the bat, I think Misty Knight is fucking great.
Yeah, she's probably the best. Like, I mean, I hate to see the female. She's the best, like, character, I think, on the show.
Oh, yeah. I'm more interested in her than I am in Luke Cage the show.
Although
they do the whole thing, because in the comics she loses her arm and then gets like a super cyber arm.
They make a reference to that.
Whoa. And there's a thing where they tease you that she's going to lose her arm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're like, oh, I've tied your veins together with dental floss? I'm like, I don't think that's a thing. Yeah. But
obviously aren't watching the game.
Yeah, right? you could lose your arm, you don't do it. And they tease you that that's what's going to happen, and then it clearly is not what happened. I was like, so what was the point of all that then?
Yeah, it was a nice little nod to the comics. You know? Yeah, I mean, that's what it was. That's what
I
it functioned
wanted her
as.
To lose her arm.
It would have been interesting for her character to deal with something like that. It's like everything.
It would make sense if you go into Iron Fist, Danny Rand being a billionaire,
yeah,
like
I'm being
give
you an arm.
Guy who gives her a cybernetic arm after that, you know,
and there's the connection to Luke Cage.
You could tie it into the bigger films and say, hey, we figured out because the Winter Soldier, we studied his arm, and now we're giving you basically the Winter Soldier arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that would be awesome, but that's clearly not what it is.
Can I mention something that still annoys me? Is that they will like refuse to say like the character, like the actual superheroes from the films,
hammer?
The guy with the hammer and the big green guy. Like they say, like Cottonmouth says Captain America like once, and I think they mentioned and met the Mad. Method Man, excuse me, mentions Iron Man. That's it. Like, everyone refers to, like, the hammer guy, the big green guy, the spider kid. It's
Did
like, what are you doing?
Forget that we're in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
You forgot. I got footage of the incident right here.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're going to have every angle.
That is a nice moment, though.
It's fine. I'm fine.
The guy
that.
Doing the footage, like, makes his partner put the camera down when he's, like, hooking up with those Aaron Dawson. He's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? It's like, come on. Nobody wants to watch that.
But any other time, he's like, 4K for 4K.
You're identifying. You're like, oh, I would have filmed all that shit.
But well, the other thing... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kyle.
My comment was not of substance at all. I was going to say the actress that plays Misty Knight, I've had a crush on her all week. Like, oh
I don't
gosh,
blame
she's
you.
So fun. Oh,
she's super fun.
They introduce her in one of the most tightest dresses ever.
Yeah, that sex scene with her
like,
early
yes,
on
do.
Where he just grabs her boobs in the bra and just kind of pushes them up, and you're like, oh, damn.
So I'm a man that loves curves, and
Simone,
I'm like, thank God that they're showing them off.
Simone Missick, who
I was
is
good for her in the
this.
Eighth grade again, just it zapped me right back.
Oh, God.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, she is totally solid. And like I said, I'm more fascinated with her arc. Did you notice a little bit where she grabs the martial arts flyer that is has the name
Iron
of,
Fist reference
has the name of the I forget the name of the act the character but the one who ends up becoming basically her partner later in the comics
like, I don't remember
like
top
a,
my head.
A martial
but
arts.
yeah
it's like oh the martial arts class by this person I'm like that's the person who ends up becoming like her best friend and partner.
Oh, okay yeah. Okay I think yeah. Claire doesn't like Misty and Claire Temple like both grab that flyer. I think one of them does. I don't know. One of them does. But the thing I wanted to touch on is, so, like, initially the first two episodes were introduced to, like, Luke Cage again, like, you know, after he, you know, it's been several months after what happened to Jessica Jones and things like that. And I felt like the strongest performance that Coulter gave was when he was with the actor who played Pops, which I don't know off the top of my head.
Frankie Faison. Terrific. And one of those actors, one of those character actors who's great in everything he does.
Yep.
And he's the heart of the show.
Yep.
And it's the world's biggest cliche to kill him off and make the whole rest of the show about everyone going, no, Pops. I was like, seriously? It's such a cliche.
It is. And that was
drives me crazy.
That was a disappointing thing about it, because I thought he was such a unique... He was just a fun character to have him around. And Mike Coulter, he was at his strongest in that show when he was reacting off of him. You know, and then once he's gone... And like even... Okay, like when he gets killed, you know, in such... Like, again, in that very cliche way. And Mike Coulter's performance, which I want to bring into question here, because I think he gives a very mixed performance throughout this entire series where... He's
better in the first half than he is in the second.
He is. But even, like, during that scene when Pops has been shot, like, Mike Coulter is crying, but he's really not crying, and where they're showing that the fact that he can't do that, it's like, man, this is... that's what the first time I'm thinking, ooh. It's like, oh, that's kind of weak from him, especially after Jessica Jones. But I think all of us praised his performance in Jessica Jones, thought, wow, they totally nailed Luke Cage. And here I'm like... Oh, I started to question his performance. And as the series got on, he had those occasionally very weak moments. And he's not helped by some of the dialogue, as you mentioned, which is just really, really weak. And then, of course, the part where I thought the series really just drops off is when they introduce his brother, Diamondback. And where even at the point where I'm like, I'm confused.
His brother in quotes.
His half-brother. Which, like, and when you guys were watching this, did you ever feel like confused? Like, wait, he's his brother? Like, what happened? And they never really explain it well enough, through flashbacks.
It was one episode where they kind of set it up.
Yeah.
And they set it up in the sense that they just knew each other from when they were younger.
I guess.
Like, high school days. Mm-hmm. So I think it was you're the running back, I'm the quarterback or something.
Yeah, but even then, it's just like, to me, it didn't work. Because as the viewer, I kind of felt like, did I miss an episode while I was watching this? It didn't flow to me. It didn't feel natural. It just felt like, oh, since Cottonmouth is dead, we're going to introduce this new character we've kind of been hinting at. And he's like, he's the badass.
You know what I'm wondering? If this show wouldn't have benefited from airing episodically instead of all at once, because the performance is so strong... that character, Cottonmouth, I imagine after a few episodes, they probably would have been like, nah, he's an important part of the show. Yeah. Why don't we move kind of Black Mariah's rise to power, mm-hmm. Back a bit and leave Cottonmouth as like a, behind the scenes character who you never see. He's much scarier that way anyways.
I agree. Kind of take a Wilson Fisk approach with him.
Or with Diamondback, you mean?
Oh, yeah, with Diamondback.
Oh, Diamondback.
Yeah.
But that's the thing with... If they were too...
Diamondback was cool until you saw him.
Yeah, exactly. Because he's terrible.
He's just hyper overreactive. How did you ever get to be a crime lord?
I'm going
to
quote the Bible constantly.
Yeah, exactly.
he's a hype inversion. He's like a hyper version of Jules from Pulp Fiction. That's what he is. Yeah. It doesn't work. He comes off
as
a cartoon character.
Speaking of Pulp Fiction, what's his
name? Oh, that's right.
Her partner.
Rafe. Or Scarf.
Scarf.
Yeah. He's Brett.
From...
He's the guy that Samuel Jackson kills.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty good, in my opinion.
I like him.
Why am I forgetting his name?
He's Brett.
No, the actor's name.
He is Brett forever, Chris.
He's Brett forever?
Yes,
okay.
He is.
He got his name legally changed.
Frank Whaley.
Yeah.
Who is, by the way, if you've never seen Swimming with Sharks.
I have not.
It's an incredibly great indie film. Where Whaley plays a guy who wants to, who's working as a personal assistant to Kevin Spacey, who is the world's biggest douchebag Hollywood producer. And it's that whole, every guy who's ever been his assistant has gone on immediately afterwards to, vice president of Paramount Pictures or whatever.
That's
the next step. And it's because he is the most impossible person to work with in the whole world. And when it starts, it's clear... this relationship takes a nosedive because at some point something happens that makes Whaley tie Spacey up to a chair and start torturing.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Nice.
I'll check that out. Then.
Great movie. But Whaley, who is a very experienced actor, but nonetheless has in his getting older, has taken on this such a wormy look.
I mean, he's come on,
the wormiest looking guy in Hollywood. There's no question from the get-go that he's going to end up being a turncoat here.
From a practical standpoint, if I'm a bad guy and I'm coming to the police station just watching people going in and out, like, I wonder who'd help me. I'd see him walk in and be like, that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, can I buy you a coffee?
Well, it doesn't help that he's like super pale skin. He's got like the slick back. Which they even make a comment of in the series. Like twice, he's like, you got your slick back.
He only looks that pale because he's the only white guy in the entire show.
That's just true. And he's corrupt and evil.
Was there actually a single other white person on screen in this entire show?
I mean, some of the band members and some of those, like, the drummer.
Guys, which, once again, that's fine.
Yeah.
Not saying that's a bad
thing.
I just think it's
totally fine. I don't have a problem with it. I just think it's funny.
I'm going to go to hell for making this parallel, but...
Amongst other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was... that one episode where I forget the group's name, but his whole backing band is nothing but white hipsters.
Yeah.
So it's like a black club where everyone's black except for the musicians, which are all like white college
kids. I think it might be in like the first episode or something like that.
It's
like
one of the first episodes. Overemphasize how great some of those band sequences are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, again, it's the most distinctive soundtrack out of any of the other shows. At the top of my mind, I couldn't even think of the songs that were used in Daredevil or Jessica Jones. I can't. But Luke Cage, I absolutely can. It's like, it just stands out.
Yeah, it's Rafael Sadiq, Nice, Faith Evans, Charles Bradley, Jadena, Dapper Dan, the Delphonics, Cliff, Method Man, Sway Calloway, Heather B., Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and Fab Five Freddy, all appearing as themselves in the episodes. Mm-hmm. And it was a great setup to have it like, one of the primary sets is a club where you can have these people play.
It was the shit kicked out of it.
Charles Bradley's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah?
That's the guy who has the hipster band.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which I got to see him at South by Southwest. They were awesome.
Yeah.
Totally badass.
Yeah, but he sucked, right?
Oh, no, he was good, too.
Sorry. They were like, they were awesome. He's like, why you got a black guy in front of
him? He looked really racist. Drunk. I don't know if that was like
racist.
Maybe I'm being racist thinking he was drunk. Maybe he wasn't drunk. Maybe that was just his soul.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had no idea we had a racist working here.
I apologize. I didn't know.
I will say the weakest point for this season was the episode where he's been hit with Luke's been hit with a Judas bullet. They bring him to like the doctor that was from the jail.
Super secret prison.
And they... Uh-huh. Do this Seagate. Whole thing where they're like, oh, I happen to have an acid bath in my garage.
As you do.
Dip it into there. There's so much shit in that episode that just doesn't make sense. Like, so much shit. Not the least of which is, it's a hydraulic acid bath, and he's wearing a mask. Why is that not melting?
Why isn't the mask melting?
Why isn't the mask melting? That makes no sense at all.
Some science person in the comments will say, oh, this is the reason why.
No, there's about a billion things in that episode, though. It was like, that makes no sense. That was by far the weakest point of this entire show. That whole arc that goes on for literally three fucking episodes of Luke Cage being injured with the Judas bullet jumping around.
Got shot twice. He's like, dude, how are you still alive?
Oh, yeah. By the way, that episode, they do the whole thing like, oh, we got it. And like, you guys just forgot he got shot again, didn't you? Go back and watch it.
Yes!
They totally forgot he got shot in the shoulder.
Yep.
They ignore it.
Yeah.
They completely go, forget it. Because like, suddenly that's not there anymore.
I thought it fell... Because I watched like that episode when it was really, really late. It was like 2 a.m. in the morning. Because I was like, I got to binge this thing. Because we're going to talk about it eventually. I'm thinking... Did they get that bullet out? I don't remember. I just remember they got the one out of his stomach. It's like, they must have got it out. But now you bring that up, it's like, they forgot about that. They
totally forgot about it. It's embarrassing.
Sloppy.
It's embarrassing to watch. I was like, wow, that was pretty bad. That was the way that just went down.
Yeah.
It's a terrible episode all the way through. And by far the weakest point of this whole show.
Even the prison stuff, I'll say, it's like when you learn about his origin story, again, I don't think Coulter's performance was that great in those episodes. Like, okay.
Oh, I liked him in the prison episode.
I don't know, because so even there's this moment, like when he screams, like when he's like, he's angry, right? I just didn't feel it. He just felt like, I'm going to scream, like that. He did the Jeff Goldblum, scream. It didn't work. It didn't work for
me. No, Jeff Goldblum's scream is,
It just, I don't know, it just, again, I don't mean to, because I really liked him in Jessica Jones, and I liked him some parts in the series, but I just don't think the material was there for him, in all honesty. I forget who the showrunner who is on this, and some of the writers, but if they're going to do a season 2, and especially if they're going to have him again in Defenders, which they obviously will, they need to get, I think, different people. Just,
I mean, it's unclear at this point which shows are going to get a season two. Like, they certainly are going, like, I mean, they just started filming The Punisher. Like,
yep, they which we knew was coming.
Filmed on, like, we've seen photographs, like, oh shit.
Like yesterday.
Like, oh shit, they're filming The Punisher. That's going to happen, but there's no announced release date for it either.
I imagine, like, 2018.
But I know that the next show is Iron Fist, and then they've been filming The Defenders for some time.
Yep, so which you haven't seen anything from it.
Yeah, we haven't seen any footage from that. Like, not, I mean, footage per se, but not even street shots.
Yeah, they'd be keeping that very secret, especially because they're obviously filming a lot of this in New York. That's something I appreciate about the show. They film a lot of this stuff in New York, which, again, it gives that really cool personality and things like that. Just like, it feels very natural. But, yeah, it's weird that we haven't really seen anything from Defenders at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think – I was watching this series. I really think that Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
I think she could hold her own spinoff series where she's like this doctor for vigilantes. Like,
that sounds
in New
so
York
like
City.
Something on CBS. I don't know.
Give her like a 3-episode miniseries or something like that. I think
she is a great backbone to all these shows.
Yeah,
I still think they made a mistake with her being like, I'm fully hooked up with Luke Cage. I like
that. Was weird.
I like that she's always on the outside. Like, even in Daredevil, when she hooked up with him, I was like, meh.
She hooked up with everybody.
Yeah, I was like, how many superheroes are you going to fuck, exactly?
Which I can't wait for Iron Fist.
I can't blame her. I mean, like, come on. These guys are amazing. You're like, if you're, like, right in the middle of it, and these guys are, like, the coolest, fucking, most badass, muscular, fucking awesome alpha males in the world.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. I mean, if I was in her position, I'd probably fuck them, too. But that being said, like, I would have preferred if they had kind of kept her where she's always this sort of, like, almost, you know...
Just the most human character in their kind of world, like, that identifies with, like, them, but still it remains in her own kind of space.
It feels like that she should have a distance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But this did do some things where with her character where it was like, I've realized now that maybe this is my path of, like, dealing specifically with these type of people. And I like that. I like that this was those moments with her. I liked a lot of the stuff with her in this season more than I did with her in the previous shows, where she's clearly starting to figure out who she is.
She's the most involved in this series.
And she's the most defined she's been as a character in this series, as more so than any of the previous.
Yeah. Ones. Yeah, she has been.
Yeah.
So what do you think, based on your thoughts of the series, the viability of seeing these characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, you know, there's so much talk about what's not or what is going on with that. A lot of that had to do with the famous breakup that happened during the early days of Doctor Strange Kevin Feige walked in and said, either you guys get the fuck out of my face or I'm quitting. Because there used to be, like, a brain trust of guys who just made all the decisions for all the shows and all the movies, right? Like, ultimate final call.
Like Perlmutter, one of those guys.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm sick of this fucking shit. I want control of the cinematic universe. I'm done with having to answer to you people. I'm going to walk if you don't fucking make me in charge. And they went, fine, you're in charge. And it created a split that didn't previously exist, where now the TV and the movie universes aren't even talking to each other. There's no communication. Because you remember the first couple seasons of, like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yep.
You had, like, crossover stuff. Well, there's no plans on the table at all right now for that, because there's this, as near as I can tell, snit going on inside the Marvel universe.
$1 billion snit.
Of these people who are, like, pissed off at each other because this happened.
Hopefully the Netflix universe, they can be Switzerland.
It's
Switzerland.
It's interesting because,
everybody,
I mean,
comes to peace agreement.
A lot of the actors for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actually come out and said, yeah, I mean, we're kind of treated as second class citizens. And, you know, that's because the show's not that great. But
I will say it's
okay sometimes.
I haven't watched the new one, but I've been reading people all day saying about
Ghost
the new
Rider
one with
shit.
Ghost Rider. They're like, this is the best we've ever seen Ghost Rider.
Oh, I mean, yeah, compared to what we've gotten.
Yeah,
sure.
Fair enough.
We could create a better Ghost Rider film at this point.
But people raving about how they handled Ghost Rider.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. But even with the Netflix shows, it's like, fucking Ike Perlmutter, what a piece of shit. I would love to see a eventual crossover with the Netflix stuff, because I want a new Avengers movie with like Luke Cage and like Captain America.
No, I do too. I want to see a Daredevil,
I'm not going to join, but I'm.
But the problem is that you've got like street level characters,
yeah,
you know, and then you've got like characters who deal with cosmic.
God.
And then the comics, like you're like, there's a little more of a disconnect. You're like, oh sure, I guess Daredevil could punch Thanos, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you start bringing it into actual cinematic thing and long form storytelling, you go. Yeah, that feels a little weird that that would be the thing. You've got to have a disconnect. Like, why had he did he have trouble fighting this guy with no superpowers that he just was good at martial arts, but he can fight like an alien, right? Yeah. So I get it. It's a smart move to at some level to say there's this world, and then there's this world. Mm-hmm. I totally get that. But I would love to have, like, an Avengers movie have, like, those characters appear even in a supporting level.
Lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, something like
that. I don't know. I want to see one of those giant, just like fill the screen with like characters facing off.
I think
I just want to see Spider-Man and Daredevil have.
Oh my God! Listen, man, that's my dream is because Spider-Man he can exist in both worlds. He lives in New York.
By his definition, he exists in both worlds.
He's always exactly
that character
because he's been like in Daredevil. He's best friends with Matt Murdock, but he's an Avenger. And if they could ever do that with Tom Holland, he's companion. I don't know, whatever. He's worked with them.
They're
lovers. But I don't know if they'd ever do that. And especially, that's a whole other complicated situation because if Sony owns Spider-Man, technically, it's just like, I would love that kind of crossover, but I don't know if it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I think that for the foreseeable future, we're going to see these worlds exist separately.
Yeah.
Which, you know, once again, I think Netflix is setting up a very interesting world all on their own, whereas I certainly, once again, assert that I think Luke Cage is the weakest thing they've done so far.
It is.
It's also not bad either. It's
okay.
It's good. It's just not great. And I would go so far as to say all the previous things were pretty great. I mean, like, the weakest thing before this was the last show, Daredevil Season 2, which had this incredibly strong first half. And in nowhere near as strong second half.
Get that magic
until the last episode or two where Punisher is like, oh yeah, by the way, I'm gonna
save you, Red.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Why? These guys just need to cut it down to 7 episodes.
That's what I was thinking. It's like this show probably should have been like maybe, yeah, like 7 to 10 episodes.
Yeah.
Like I cut out Diamondback, that whole arc. Just get rid of it.
I don't know who's the person ultimately in charge. I mean, it might be fucking Jeff Loeb, who's
he's a producer on all of these shows. Yeah.
But the idea that they all have to have the same fucking formula, they all do, of that. First half of the show is one thing, second half of the show is something else. I'm like, maybe you just cut it down to 7 or 8 episodes and not do that?
Mm-hmm.
And just make it, why does it have to be 13 episodes or whatever? Like, cut it down, like, condense. I think that would be the best thing that could happen to these Netflix show at this point, is like, focus. It needs to be focused. Like, if the Defenders should be 13 episodes, right? Because you've got a ton of characters. But these separate character shows should be 7 or 8 episodes.
Yeah. But then people are starting complaints like, well, I'm not getting my money's worth in my Netflix account. Yeah. I'm just, you're going to get those, those complaints, son. That's the thing, where you feel like.
Those people can suck my dick.
Yeah. Fair enough. But you're going to get those people that's like, well, we need to pad this out. We need to introduce all these new, we need to have Elektra in part 2 of Daredevil Season 2. Have her own arc.
I do like their universe's Elektra.
It's better than Jennifer Gardner.
I wish they had kind of given Elektra her own
show. Miniseries.
Show. That worked so hard last time. But, like, made her the, like, main focus for a whole season.
Okay, fair enough.
As opposed to the split season thing. Because, let's face it, you wanted to see a whole season of Punisher and Daredevil together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why weren't... I would have liked to seen that come together where it was, like, they're working all the way through and all the shit, and it's like, and then it gets down to there's a big villain they both have to take on together, and then there's that grudging, like, I guess I'll see you around thing.
Pretty much is the Daredevil-Punisher relationship.
Yeah.
Like, you don't like each other, but they respect one another.
There's a certain amount of, like, I get it. I get what you do. I don't like it, but I get it. And I accept that it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so ultimate call on, I know we went way off topic with talking about the whole Marvel thing.
Yeah.
But
MCU.
Let's go to final thoughts here, but ultimate take on Luke Cage season one. I'm going to launch this one and just go, I think that they need to get away from the familiar formula, which is certainly a fault for anything in TV when they go, hey, it works. It's time to get away from what works and put some fresh blood in here in terms of writing and directing and producing this stuff. Somebody to come in and go, we need to get those gut punches we got early on from this. The reason the formula started to work in the first place doesn't keep working if you just keep doing the same fucking thing. Yes, you've got some great cast going on here, but let's not be lazy as well with, like, stuff like Diamondback, who is just so boring.
Fucking sucks, man.
She's practically Rocket Razor as a
fucking supervillain. Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
She's a terrible supervillain. It felt like the whole second half of this was like, well, I guess we got to come up with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why didn't you just make the whole really resonant first half story last through the whole season? Because you felt like there's this formula that in this, halfway through there has to be a gut punch, big, like, sea change. And
I mean, a twist.
There's no reason for that. There's no reason for that. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of good stuff here. Like I said, I think Mike Coulter does have points in here that he's struggling
yep.
with the drama, but overall I really like him here still. Rosario Dawson, once again, super great. Her strongest performance yet in this thing.
Reggie from
Mahershala Ali, who plays Cottonmouth, is terrific in this. Simone Missick, who plays Misty Knight, is probably the strongest point of this entire show.
Agreed.
I would watch a whole show just about her if yep. she had been given a bionic arm. What the fuck were you thinking, Netflix?
You don't even have to put audio in it.
It's too expensive. Yeah. It's too expensive.
Yeah, I just say, like, what are you thinking? Give her the bionic arm. I'm really hoping she's going to be an Iron Fist.
I think she will be.
Yeah,
there's going to be some more crossover with that. I know. Well, we know that Claire Temple is going to be in it.
Yeah.
And
well, she's in every single show.
I know. I think, but Missy Knight, it would make sense, especially if, like, the fallout with, like, Black Mariah controlling old, like, Harlem. I mentioned Iron Fist is going to get involved with that somehow.
Yeah.
Like, Luke Cage gone. That's the other thing we didn't mention. I will say, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
No.
But just to say, Luke Cage, like, this ends, like, the finale episode, it's disappointing, but it ends on, it's unique in a way where the hero kind of loses at the end, where he goes to jail, which, again, it's like,
it's a this political weird climate. Ending.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I kind of liked how they did that, though.
It's just weird. I don't even know how to feel about it.
Part of it that I don't like about it is that I'm not crazy about Alfre Woodward in this series. I like her when she's, like I said before, I like her when she's, it's about her relationship with Cottonmouth. But after that, she's just not that interesting of a character anymore.
Yeah.
She's such a generic, bland, evil politician
character. She's making out with Shades,
after
though.
That. And Shades is so much more interesting than she is.
She is. Yeah. We didn't praise Shades. He's a great character.
They don't give him much to do.
It's just sad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're like, oh, so why is he so cool? I wanted to find out Shades had a superpower that we just didn't know about.
He's got the laser beam.
He was telepathic or something.
Scott,
like,
Scott Summers
I
power.
Felt like it would have been a great reveal that, like, oh, guess what? The reason why this guy, who in every other way seems to be just another thug, is so good at being manipulative is because he can read everybody's minds.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Even the comics, I think in the comics he just had, like, a lame, half-assed, like, Cyclops laser beam eye thing going on, which they're clearly not going to go with here, which is good. They shouldn't. But
yeah,
Alfre Woodward is just so boring in the second half of this thing and just so generic that, at least as far as the way she's written, that when it ends like that, sort of like, oh, we got away scot-free, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not feeling anything emotionally from this whatsoever.
Yeah.
I just was kind of bored by the end of this whole show. And that's a shame. Like, all the previous shows, I was like, more, 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 more. And this one, I was like, less, 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 less. I guess I give this in context, admittedly, of the Marvel Netflix series, which, if this was the only Marvel Netflix series, I'd give it a higher rating. But if, in context of them all, probably give it a 6 out of 10 cool headbands I wish he had decided to keep wearing.
That's the thing. They in one particular episode, is after the prison episode, they actually show him in the kind of the full classic Luke Cage regalia. I'm glad they didn't do it. It looked fucking ridiculous. I'm sorry, man.
They just
did corny
ass
shit.
Headpiece on it. They put the armbands on.
You got the bracelets. The Wonder Woman.
Did you see the armbands? Yeah. Oh, look at the headpiece.
I was all geeking out. It's like the armbands. Look at the armbands. Oh, the headpiece is awesome. Like, keep the headpiece. I wish they had done a thing where it was like, I don't know. Maybe if they had gone with where Shades actually did have telepathic powers, it'd be like, oh, it's like Magneto's helmet.
There you go. But he needs the afro too.
Yeah. Well,
No,
I don't need his to have the afro.
He's Jerry Crow.
Well, but no, the original Power Man had had hair. And the new one is bald.
Well, I mean, they kind of went with the more recent take of the 2000s version of Luke Cage, where he's bald.
The Michael Bendis, and it's like the shirt, and it's the shirt opened up all the way,
which they had, which is like
a fool, and he's got the hair poking out. I was like, designing it around to that original look there.
One of the interesting, one of the things I want to bring up.
You're done.
One of the things I want to bring up briefly is that Quentin Tarantino had some criticism of the show. And
I saw that.
You did. And he said that it would probably be better set in the 70s, which I would disagree. I don't know. It's like, he loves black exploitation. He loves that kind of
comment from him. Even listening to Quentin Tarantino anymore?
I don't know. But it's like, then I just want to mention that because I thought then the suit would have worked well. that kind of costume. It's like, I would believe, if they had that classic kind of Superfly type of trailer.
I don't know, man. I love that moment.
I know. Fair enough.
Yellow shirt that's down to the navel.
Yes, it is.
And he's got
it's on the cross. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And the fucking armbands.
Where'd he get the chain from?
It's Luke Cage.
Man, sweet Christmas. This is corny.
If he doesn't dress up like that for Halloween, then he is not committed to this.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing about the show is
I'm
where.
I'm totally dressing up like that at Halloween. Luke Cage.
I would love that.
White Luke Cage. No lie, and I'm going to sound like a total fanboy, but I've been digging the Power Man and Iron Fist comic, and I.
The most recent comic is fantastic.
Good,
yeah, so yes.
Most recent. No lie, I was totally working on an Iron Fist cosplay.
Nice.
I cannot find that color jumpsuit, though. It's like a particular green here.
I need to hook up with Martin, where he plays Iron Fist and I play Luke Cage. Oh, my God. That would be the best Halloween duo ever.
Well, the Iron Fist costume would be perfect because it's the half mask, so you can drink booze on it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a good Spider-Man, but...
It's too hard. It's too difficult, man.
Anyway, sorry.
No, it's cool. Right, I'm glad to keep talking, but... minus the Quentin Tarantino thing. I'm kind of right with you there, Chris, where it's like... I really enjoyed the first half, minus some kind of weak, occasionally a weak performance by Mike Coulter. Again, that dialogue that he's given and some of just the, even the acting, some of the supporting characters doesn't really work. My favorite parts are with Cottonmouth, I forget the actor's name, Reggie from House of Cards. I'm sorry, man, I can't remember your name.
Look at you.
It's hard.
You're terrible.
Mahershala Ali, he's great. I wish he was in it more. And even though, as we learn about, his death makes sense with Black Mariah, but what they do with that character, it's just like, I don't fucking care about you.
I will say this, there's this awkwardness that happens there that feels very forced.
Mm-hmm.
Get what they're going for, because they're like, we want to be politically relevant, where he's like, whatever, you wanted it. It goes back to a Jessica Jones thing. He's like, oh, we got to bring a little Jessica Jones back into this, and it's like... Why are you bringing a feminist thing into this where it doesn't really feel like it belongs?
Yeah.
I'm not really sure why it's here, because it feels... I mean, sure, that's a valid thing to say, but here, why is it suddenly here where he's like, yeah, whatever, you wanted to get raped by your uncle, and she kills him because she's like, no, and they make such a huge point out of it for a motive, which feels like a forced motivation.
It's the catalyst to that reaction that she gets to kill him. Yeah. But yeah, Kyle, you want to say something?
Well, I almost feel like... You can read into that. You can think back to Jessica Jones. You can think about whatever stance they're taking. But in that scene, that's a really personal moment. They're family members, and they are saying that thing that they know the other person is. And I feel in that scene, Cottonmouth, he's like a kid again. He's like, I actually kind of thought the uncle was cool. I know you
uncle
guys
Pete.
Weren't digging. Yeah, I know you guys weren't digging him, but and yeah. I imagine that was more of a heat of passion thing than...
Oh, I mean, they clearly set that up as a, like, even she regrets at the end. Like, even throughout the rest of the season, which, again, even though I thought her entire arc in the second half was weak, like, every time she brings up Cottonmouth again, his name is Cornell Stokes. That's the other thing people forget. Yeah. But even he doesn't like to be called Cottonmouth.
He's dead now.
We can call him whatever the fuck we want. But, like, during those moments, I thought she was at her strongest when she was remembering the past stuff. Like, my favorite parts of this series is really the stuff it was, like, set in, like, I don't know how many years ago, but the period piece stuff when we're introduced to Mama Mabel, which I'm like, I'm sorry, but she should have been the main villain of this show. She was so good.
What we see of her is very interesting.
She's scary. I mean, spoilers, she cuts a guy's finger off, and it's like, oh, my God, please don't do that. She's like, go kill him. Go mess him up. And it's like, just terrifying. As I mentioned, Mike Coulter, I think he's very mixed performance. The person who plays Pops,
Frankie Faison,
even though, again, like, what happens to him is just, like, so fucking predictable, I think he gives a great performance.
Yeah.
A lot of the other actors in here, the actor who plays Shades, I think he does a great job. I wish he got more to do. But then, again, there's just so many other weak performances. The guy who plays Diamondback, such a fucking, I'm sorry, he's an MCU level villain, like, Marvel films. He's like, just so forgettable.
He feels like a 90s Marvel film guy.
Yeah.
You're like, he's so hyper exaggerated.
Should be in the 90s Captain America movie or something like that.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You're just, okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah.
The whole, when it gets to the connection, like, we were brothers.
It's like, I was confused.
Where's the point where he has any emotional depth of any kind?
Yeah.
You're like, wait, so he's mad at him about what? The whole idea that he's furious at him because
he's arrested for something?
Their parents didn't treat them equally and he's blaming Luke Cage. I'm like, I'm not really buying this at all.
And even if I'm not only buying it, but they just don't even really show it. Like, they have some flashback sequences, but not the flashback sequences I want. They talk about when Luke Cage and Diamondback were arrested together. Like, they talk about it. It's like, don't show it, don't tell it. You know, that kind of situation. Yeah. It's like, if I've not seen it, like, I just felt confused. And you can say that's on me, but it's like, I'm sorry, it didn't work for me. And, the thing is, like, the more positive side, this show has a great personality to it. Again, the music is great. The environment it sticks out more than the previous two shows. Even though I thought those two shows are Jessica Jones and Daredevil are far superior.
Yeah, Harlem feels more like a real place than Hell's Kitchen does.
Yeah, which Hell's Kitchen's like, this is like the apocalyptic version of, you know, of Clinton, which is called now.
Would you guys consider world building?
Yeah.
With, like, all the characters that they've set up.
It's better at world building than the previous two shows were. I agree with that. Whereas I thought the Daredevil and Jessica Jones excelled more when it came to characters, and especially when it came to the villains. But yeah, I really wanted to like this show. And I just kind of felt like it was just okay. Right now, I'm really disappointed to say this because that first trailer was just probably one of the just an amazing trailer. I just give it 6 out of 10 tattered hoodies.
And then Kyle. Mm-hmm. It came down to Kyle, who likes this better than either one of us.
Hey, Kyle, please tell us why we're wrong.
I was actually thinking you guys are going to be a little harder on it, like giving it the sub-5s.
No.
There's enough to like about it where I think it's much better than that.
Still genuinely enjoyed it. I just think that, like I said, in context of the previous shows, this is the weakest one.
Well, no, and I think, where this show suffers, you guys have already mentioned it, no need to repeat it, character stuff, story stuff. Had they done 6 or 7 episodes, would have been perfect. I even think, had they made that reveal that Diamondback was his brother, had it been like a season finale or something like that, I think that might have worked better. Because at that point, Diamondback was still, we don't know who this person is until he opened his mouth and we were like, oh, you're kind of a dipshit. We really didn't know what to expect. You know, season 2 does have me excited because the idea that he's going to prison, but a prison can't hold him, tells me they've got a lot of opportunity to play with humor.
Him,
like, staying inside of the prison, you know, by his own will.
Yeah.
And I think that's where this show succeeded for me, is when it was funny without trying to be funny. Like, there were some times, like, that suit, the power suit at the end, that was funny, but they weren't trying to be funny.
Yeah.
But, like, the episode 3, I believe, where he's going around the neighborhood trying to get everybody's stuff back.
Yeah.
And he's got the new suit on. Like, that was fun and, you know, made you smile. More of that in the next season.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about, you know, dropping all your eggs, like, all your bombs. Like, stretch out some of the stuff, you know? Don't kill off your awesome villain halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like it a little bit more than you. I think I'm going to give it 7.5. Actually, literal representation of the rating, 7.5 episodes out of 10.
Yeah, even that's probably what should have gotten. Yeah, agree.
Cut it off there. You're perfectly fine.
I do want to counter, not your review, but some of the things I've heard of excuses about where the show falls. I have seen multiple critics go, well, it's trying to do blaxploitation, so of course it's dumb. I was, wow, hold on. They're definitely blaxploitation referencing in here, but to try and use that as an excuse for why the writing is bad at points, there's no way that is what they were trying to do here.
No.
I'm sorry. That is just a cheap way of trying to defend the show. Based on the fact that you really want this, you know, strong black superhero show.
Which you get. It makes
succeed,
sense.
Right? You're like, I'm sorry, I want a strong black TV show to, like, superhero show to succeed as well. But to try and use that as an excuse? Oh, it's just basing off blaxploitation stuff, which is why it's stupid.
It doesn't.
No. I don't see that. I've watched a lot of those films, and I'm sorry, I don't see it. I don't think that's what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I think it was just weak writing that you can, that I can say that based on having watched the previous shows and seen what their failings generally are and seeing the same failings here exaggerated.
Yep.
Exactly. One thing that I forgot to say with my final thoughts, that I cannot speak highly enough, the music to this show.
No, it's, yeah, exactly. It's
phenomenal.
Yeah, we've discussed this at length.
No, I mean, the person, it like, has that personality to it. It stands out. Yeah.
Well, and you were going down that list of all the people that are, that premiere. I can't think of anything else that has just, like, so much talent, like, and then so many tracks from each of those artists, like, throughout the whole season.
I suspect that that's where the budget went, actually, to some
all to the music.
Certainly to go with the fight scenes.
No, seriously, because, like, they get so much in there. Like, it's like, what happened to the points where we actually are watching a superhero show? This show seems so much more to want to
really not
cleave to something like Empire than it does to want to be its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm like, I love seeing all that stuff, and I love seeing all these connections going on here, this strong black culture stuff, strong, especially the black writer stuff. I love that they're going, like, that people are putting lists of stuff that are referenced on the show, like, these are books that are important to read. That's great. But if you're spending all your money on, like, being so concerned that this show have a very strong, like, positive African-American, like, you know, reference points throughout it, it feels like they forgot to make a superhero show.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Well, too, to your comments earlier about the times where it feels kind of like a blaxploitation film or a blaxploitation TV show, it doesn't have to be that.
No.
Like, no. I mean, that stuff is cool, but this can also be cool in its own way.
Yeah.
I think what they need to do is kind of the Power Man Iron Fist story that we have in the comics
now. That's the thing. That I hate, like, to say this, but I'm not to interrupt you, Kyle, but they need to. I think he works better when he's paired with someone else.
Yeah,
I mean,
at this point, well, I will say
you do
that.
Do it like Lethal Weapon.
I tend to agree.
Yeah. And yeah, you have these two guys.
Shane Black coming in, right? Yeah. Iron Fist and Power Man and Iron Fist, like, show together, and it will be the greatest thing that has ever happened.
Yep.
Done. I actually think that would work better than a Defenders show.
Look, I will put money into this right now. Where is my fucking, like, thing online? I can, like, put my credit card on and say, here's $10. Make it happen. Pay Shane Black to come in and go, like, because you know Shane Black would do it.
He's busy with Predator right now.
Shane Black's doing Predator?
Don't let Tarantino do it, because he'd be like, well, you know, he'd do it where, like, there was a Luke Cage before Luke Cage that was
in the 70s.
And then he kills Hitler.
Whatever.